This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Majors here. It's 37 past 12. Majors on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Before we jump into it, we just were discussing foods that we all find repulsive, that we want no part of. We'd need multiple kids held hostage before we consumed a bite of it, okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
Give me a food for you.
The very top of that list is deviled eggs.
Oh, really? Wow. Why? Awful. They're good. They're
awful.
Excellent.
They're terrible. They're terrible. They're rancid. They're awful. Even when they're made perfectly, they're terrible.
They're rancid. Wow.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to send you like a giant box of deviled eggs. They'll be good, too, because they'll be shipped from Plymouth to D.C. You want to see rancid. Open that box up, my friend.
Oh
my.
And because I am a person of a certain age, I grew up right in the middle of the Tupperware rage in America.
Sure.
You know? And Tupperware created an entire container with little scalloped openings to put in deviled eggs. And everyone in my family, except me, loved deviled eggs. Oh. So every picnic, every family gathering, out came the Tupperware. And, of course, all the deviled eggs were showered in bright red paprika. You know, all of that nonsense and garbage.
Good stuff. Yeah.
The worst.
Good
the
stuff.
Worst.
Okay. Speaking of families, Adam Carter, Jordana, Green on before us, they were talking, what is the right amount of time to spend at a family reunion? Right amount of time to spend at a family reunion. I'm going to give you my view on that. I like to drive by my car, give them a big wave. Hey, how you doing? And then keep going on with the rest of my day. That's the amount of time I want to spend at a family reunion. Where is Major Garrett with family reunions?
Arrive Friday afternoon, depart first thing Sunday.
Wow. You're all in. Now I'm not talking to your children. I'm talking like Cousin Eddie, you know, and Aunt Mildred. Okay, not your kids. They don't count. These are like your second cousins from the Ozarks who want to talk to you about like Wheel of Fortune because they think you're on the same network. Okay, so don't give me the kids. Okay, now how much time are you spending with them?
About as much time as it takes for a traffic light to change.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Very, very good. All right, where do we start? Another week where it's just incredibly busy. Washington Post just tweeting out, it is now official, what we've known, that the vice president has officially become the head of the ticket and has sealed the nomination. By the time we chat next week, unless something dramatically changes, she will have selected her vice president. It seems like we know the contenders, including Tim Walz from this state, Senator Mark Kerry, Governor Josh Shapiro, Governor Andy Beshear. I don't know if we want to include the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, but you know this well. You were right on the Vance pick pretty much all along. I know a lot of people are trying to say 1 + 1 = 2. And so considering there's a big event on Tuesday and it's in Pennsylvania, it's got to be Shapiro. But I saw somebody tweet out the other day the locations where numerous vice presidential nominees were announced and about none of them were in their home states. So where do you think we're headed?
No, the Pennsylvania location is not about the nominee's running mate. It's about the importance of Pennsylvania. Let's not overcomplicate things. There is no map that works and really works reliably for Kamala Harris and whoever she puts on the ticket that doesn't include Pennsylvania. It is conceivable But Kamala Harris, now the no longer presumptive nominee, the nominee of the Democratic Party for president, could win without Pennsylvania, but is excruciatingly difficult. And if Trump wins Pennsylvania, you have to believe he's going to win other the places that Kamala Harris would need to win to offset Pennsylvania. So the importance of Pennsylvania is not to say, oh, it's Josh Shapiro because that match. No, it's, hey, the America, number one place, it all starts here and builds out from here. So, look, I don't know who it's going to be. I think there's been a late push for J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois. I think the probability of that is next to zero, but there's a push. Pete Buttigieg has a substantial fundraising network, and they have stood themselves up to make themselves visible, and you can never ignore that. I think it's a low probability, but you cannot ignore that. I will say this for the good governor of Minnesota. He has put on a late and significantly important push for this on his own, without a donor network or without a lot of wherewithal, financial and otherwise, as J.B. Pritzker has, the governor of Illinois. So I don't think you can rule Governor Waltz out. I still believe, in the end, this will come down to personal connection and comfortability and biography. And on that score, I think Mark Kelly has the inside track.
Yeah. I mean, the biography, no one can top that in this field.
And it's a double biography. It's a double biography. It's not just Mark Kelly.
Right.
It's Gabby Giffords. Yep. And for a party that identifies, and for young voters who do care about, because they have either directly or indirectly or from a distance been traumatized by the rise and borderline epidemic of school shootings, they want someone who's responsive to talk about that issue and who can talk about it in a way that will not be instantaneously dismissed and demonized. There is no one in America who can speak with more authority on that, not only in general, but in a distinctly political context than Gabby Giffords.
So let's stay with Mark Kelly here for a little bit. Remind folks, the great major is with us. So there's more reporting on Kelly. I want you to try to tell me if it's legit, if it's just hyperbolic right now, on what affiliation he has with a spy balloon company, potentially maybe directly tied to China, indirectly tied, and then others suggesting a previous marriage and issues. It seems like no matter what, if you draw national, international scrutiny, we all have our stuff, and some stuff stands out more than others. On Kelly, are those two items or anything else you know preventative of the vice president saying, Mark, you're my guy?
That I don't know. At that level, I just don't know. And this is what's important about this decision. I don't know what Kamala Harris's scare factor is. I don't know what her risk probability ratios are. That's one of the things the country's going to learn. What are you going to take on board and defend and prosecute in your own way? What risk factors are you willing to live with in order to achieve something else? No one active in political life comes untainted. No one. No one is as white as the driven snow. And in this deeply polarized and partisan country, everything can, or anything can be made into something, at least for a news cycle or two. Whether it sticks, whether it becomes emblematic, or a way of interpreting Senator Kelly's entire approach to politics or role as vice president, that's for the country to decide if she goes in that direction. But one of the things that this process reveals is how careful you are, how calculated you are, and what risks you're willing to take in order to achieve the biggest prize in American politics.
Let's take a short pause, come back. Major Garrett, fabulous as always. We'll return in moments on the home of the twins, CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right back with Major. It's 49 past 12 Enormous news yesterday with a prisoner swap involving multiple countries. Journalist Evan Gershkovich comes back. Paul Whelan has been there 5.5 years. Russia gets assets back. This was very elaborate. There's a lot of reporting on it. CBS has been right in the middle of the reporting. What is unique about this prisoner exchange, Major, compared to others that we've witnessed under numerous presidents, including former President Trump?
The obvious is the multi-nation component part of it. So it's not just Russians in U.S. custody traded, hardly any. It's Russians in other countries' custody. And they, in the case of the Germans in particular, were not eager to give up someone that their judicial system had convicted for the murder of a Chechen dissident in their country. Slovenians and others. All of the intricate diplomacy and negotiations and all the moving parts and keeping the Russians apprised and also engaged, that's part one. Part two, this was gaining momentum, and then some forces within Russia got wind of that momentum, and suddenly Alexei Navalny, the most important dissident of the modern era in Russia, ended up dead.
Yep.
And I was sitting at the anchor table this morning on CBS Mornings. It was someone's decision to stick the dullest, oldest, whitest guy in D.C. on the desk for the morning show. Okay. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I interviewed Jake Sullivan about this, and I said, look, why is it that we are forced to trade successful computer hackers who stole millions of dollars from Americans, assassins, and spies for journalists and other innocent Americans?
That's
why is that
question.
Equitable?
Yeah.
And he said, it isn't equitable.
Yep.
But guess what? We don't get to make that call. Have them, and we're not going to let them rot in jail, period. We'll give them their criminals. We'll get our innocents back. And that's a hard call that every president has to make. The third thing that makes this interesting, Chad, is in the case of Evan Gershkovich, for reasons known only to him, and he will have to spend the next week wiping the egg off of his face, former President Trump made videos and social media posts about his singular ability to win the release of Evan Gershkovich after he wins. And even before he's sworn in as president-elect, he and only he can achieve the freedom of Evan Gershkovich. Sorry, no. Not true. And whatever that was about, whether it was meddling or just marketing, I don't know. But it was irrelevant to the facts of the existing administration, irrelevant to the facts understood by all the countries we worked with, and interestingly, irrelevant to Vladimir Putin. And you can read into that what you want.
Yeah, and also on Donald Trump, when he and his supporters are saying, well, when the president, and he deserves credit, that prisoners came back, but he never exchanged top-level Russians who were held either here or other places. That's just not true. The idea that he just, through his skill, was able to get Americans back without offering anything in return is utter nonsense, and the facts are out there on that. Speaking of Donald
look
Trump.
Look him up, yeah.
Yeah, look it up, yep. Speaking of Donald Trump, J.D. Vance is taking a great deal of criticism, and I think a fair amount of it is just. But I have this debate on a regular basis. We did earlier this week, and we just talked about the vice presidential nominee for the vice president herself. J.D. Vance, in the end, is he going to matter at all on the Trump ticket?
No.
Trump is such a force. Again, the childless cat ladies, if you have more kids, you should have more votes. Some of the things he said. I just think because of Trump, it's almost irrelevant.
I would say this. They're not irrelevant in the sense that they stick when part of the conversation about what a Trump-Vance presidency would mean is that it would mean things that we are not accustomed to debating, let alone implementing in this country. We've never had a debate about families getting more votes because they have three kids and couples with two people and two adults in a house get only two votes? We've never had that conversation. What is that about?
It's ridiculous. That's why we haven't had the conversation.
And we've never had this sort of disdain, this kind of curdled, intellectual contempt for people who choose not to have children. I don't understand what that's about. Especially, I don't understand that what that's about for a party that has always associated itself, if not with libertarian individuality, but rugged individuality, making your own decisions for the betterment of your own American life and your own American interpretation of what the American dream is. And if you've decided not to have children for this particular part of your life,
yeah,
that's your call.
Yeah.
And as I understood republicanism throughout most of my life, not only was that okay, that was really okay. But no, now we've got this finger-wagging guy saying, no, no, you're somehow anathema to America. I just think that is a very hard sell in the places where this election is going to be decided, suburban and exurban America.
You're at an airport right now. What is your move to keep yourself busy, amused, and the time to go by as fast as possible when you're at an airport?
I just read my Kindle. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm pretty basic. I'm pretty simple. I don't require
no juggling. You're not. You're not just.
I can juggle. I can juggle, but I don't do that at airport.
Oh, what kind of juggler are you? 0 to 10.
Oh, I would say 5.
5. Very.
Yeah. I mean, I'm mildly amusing. I'm not breathtaking. No one is like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. That's like, oh yeah, you can juggle. Oh, get away from me, will you?
Which animals can you juggle?
Well, it all depends, but you know, I'm pretty successful with saber-toothed tigers.
Yeah, platypus potentially. a texter brings up an excellent point. Next time you're on CBS in the morning, or next time you're on the CBS Evening News, is it possible that your sign-off can be the copy machine?
You know, well, you'll find out because I'm subbing all next week for Nora and the week after. So
you'll find out. Okay, so, you know, it's a kicker, right? It's a lighthearted, it's a whimsical story about Martha in Missouri, and she's been selling lemonade, and she's 94 years old, and the whole community loves her. And you give that, Martha, we love you too. It's Major Garrett, everybody. Have a good night. I think it works. That's me sitting here as a... Yeah.
Well, yeah. We'll find out.
We'll find out. All right, go catch your flight. Thank you, sir.
All right, see ya.
Major.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.